السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, mashallah. I hope you are all able to hear us and see me clear, inshallah ta'ala. Welcome back to one of our sessions, the top 10 sessions that we're having again this year. Last year we had these same sessions and we were able to speak about 10 qualities, and this year we're speaking about 10 different narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he speaks about the best of something. And alhamdulillah, I think we've had, if someone can tell us, how many sessions have we had so far? Have we had 6? Have we had 7? MashaAllah, I was sitting here and I was able to read some of the comments as we were going live. So inshallah, today I will be joined by Mufti Abdul Rahman. So Sheikh Abdullah is actually at a khatam, like how I was yesterday. He's at a khatam of Qur'an. So inshallah, Mufti Abdul Rahman will be joining me just in a few minutes. Our Taraweeh just finishes, like at this time, it finishes around 12:20, 12:15. So this is why inshallah, perhaps tomorrow we'll be starting at 12:30, just to make it easier for us. So Mufti Abdul Rahman will be joining me. Sheikh Abdul Aziz, you know, I've been trying to get him to join for a long time. He doesn't want to join yet. So inshallah, maybe after seeing the comments, he'll be convinced to join. So that's the hope, but I'm not sure if he'll be joining us together, but I'm trying to convince him to join, to do a dua, you know, some a dua that everyone can benefit from and enjoy, inshallah ta'ala. But Mufti Rahman will be joining me, and inshallah, if Sheikh Abdullah finishes up, he'll also jump on. But we'll try to keep it short and sweet, and hopefully enjoyable for everyone, and inshallah, hopefully you all enjoy it. So if we did 6 sessions so far, right? 4 brothers at one time, I don't think we're gonna get that. That won't happen. It's just that would be difficult. But inshallah, hopefully we can at least get Mufti Abdul Rahman today, because I don't want to be alone. I already feel, you know, like I'm in need of someone else. The fans want it. Subhanallah. Inshallah, we'll see how it goes. If not in these last few nights, we'll get it next year, inshallah. So we have after tonight, we have 3 more nights of the top 10. We have some, you know, great scholars lined up, inshallah ta'ala. Tonight, the sheikh that was going to join as a guest was unfortunately not able to join, again, because of a khatam and the ahya and his community. So he was not able to join. But inshallah, we will have different mashayikh in the next few days. Tomorrow, we have a special session. We will actually be having Brother Zain Bika joining us, inshallah, with Sheikh Abdullah, who him and Zain Bika actually collaborated on writing something called the Seerah song. I'm not sure if you've all heard about it, but it's a beautiful nasheed about the Seerah from the beginning all the way to the end that Sheikh Abdullah Misra wrote and Brother Zain Bika recited. It's very beautiful. They will be speaking to us tomorrow night at the same time and joining us. So I encourage everyone to join and share it with other people as well. It will be an enjoyable session with Sheikh Abdullah and Brother Zain Bika. Whenever Brother Zain Bika joins, he leaves us, you know, tantalized. So okay, that's awesome. That's a good enough intro, I guess. Oh, subhanallah. So let me ask you all something, if you don't mind. From all these sessions, which hadith do you remember still? And which hadith do you find, you know, that it connects with you the most? Because we did so many different, the best of, right? And as I'm waiting for Mufti Rahman to join as well, I think this is a good, it gives me a chance to ask. So hopefully, you know, we know, you know, what everyone took. So everyone takes different things from every session. So which hadith, which narration do you connect with more from the 6 sessions that we had? Someone said all. Zain Bika definitely reminds us of our childhood. I'm not sure how old you are, Sir Fatima, but definitely reminds me of my childhood. I mean, you know, hopefully we can still benefit from him at this age as well. All of them? Okay. Sheikh Abdullah would call that a very politically correct answer, right? The best form of dhikr is La ilaha illallah, subhanallah. That was a beautiful session. The hadith about consistency. Bajan Fanboy from Seattle was saying that the hadith about making other people happy. The best dhikr is La ilaha illallah, and the best dua is Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That's beautiful. The best of those is one who puts happiness in the hearts of others. So, hadith about consistency, Muhammad Murtaza Siddiqui is saying, Asma, Sister Asma Azimi is saying that the hadith about people putting love and happiness in the hearts of people, istiqama, the importance of istiqama, beautiful. So, someone is saying the episode that mentioned the Prophet ﷺ, salah was powerful. I'm not sure which episode that was, to be honest. It may have been the episode in where we spoke about Alhamdulillah. Day one, bring happiness to someone's life. So everyone has something different that they took. I feel like every one of the sessions are powerful, are enjoyable. Abdullah Mas'ud's narration, subhanAllah, that's a beautiful narration. Sister Jawariya is saying every night, mashallah. La ilaha illallah alhamdulillah. So many people mentioned the la ilaha illallah alhamdulillah one. That's awesome. And hopefully something so simple, and hopefully we were able to bring those into our life. I missed you all too. Unfortunately, I was not able to join. I'm sure you were all in good hands with Sheikh Abdullah and Sheikh Amar al-Shukri, and hopefully you enjoyed it. How many more sessions do we have? I believe we have 4 more sessions. So we're going to have one all the way to the 30th night of Ramadan. So every night we'll have a session, inshallah ta'ala. That's the plan all the way through. So hopefully you're able to stay with us all the way through as well. And inshallah also benefit from the moments of the Quran. Oh no, don't, that story. I'm still embarrassed that Sheikh Abdullah shared that. You know, I didn't know that was a story that we could share on live. May Allah bless him. But Allahu A'lam. SubhanAllah. Okay. Allahumma salli Muhammad. So today's session will be on a very beautiful hadith. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Very beautiful hadith that also speaks about the best of something, right? And this hadith actually refers to the best form of ibadah. The best ibadah is something. So anyone want to guess what the best form of ibadah is? Like, what is the best form of ibadah? We spoke about the best amal, the best dua, the best dhikr, the best types of amal, istiqama. What is the best form of ibadah? May Allah reward you all too. Leaving bad habits and striving towards Allah. Okay, that's awesome. Salah. Okay, there's no wrong answer. Except there is sometimes. No, but there isn't. The salah is correct. We have a miftah sista. I wish Sheikh Abdullah was able to read this. Sincerity, God consciousness. So in this hadith, whoever Wahid Clubhouse is and other brothers or sisters that answered it as well, yes, the best form of ibadah, afdalul ibadati, ad-du'a. That hadith is also correct. Umar ibn Aziz rahimahullah's statement. It's not a hadith, it's a statement. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates, and this hadith is narrated by many sahabas. One of them is Anas ibn Malik, where he says that afdalul ibadati, ad-du'a. That the best form of ibadah is to make du'a. In another narration, which is also a very famous narration, du'a is the summary or the nucleus rather of our ibadah. Without dua, we don't have ibadah, right? We may be doing many things, but without dua, we haven't committed to ibadah. It's very interesting when you read this hadith that the best form of ibadah is dua, and without dua, there is no ibadah. And then you recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is to be recited in the most important ibadah. The most important ibadah on a daily basis is our salat, right? And in that salat, the first thing that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for is dua, right? Is dua. The first thing that is being asked is dua, right? Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Ya Allah, we recognize that we are your slaves. We recognize that you are the most merciful. We recognize that you are the owner of the day of judgment. After recognizing all of this, Ya Allah, we seek your help. We seek your assistance. We want help from you. And this is where dua comes into place. The definition, someone asked a very beautiful question. She said, what is ibadah? Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah defines ibadah as those a'mal, as that amal that brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as prescribed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So something that the Prophet did, or the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in did, And that act of theirs brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He defines that as ibadah, because it brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why is dua the one of the best forms of ibadah? How is that unique and special for us? Some of the scholars mentioned, and is also mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, where he says that dua allows us to experience something very personal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very personal connection where we are able to speak our mind and our heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the one time where we are allowed to be vulnerable in front of Allah. As individuals, we only want to be vulnerable and show weakness and show our brokenness in front of people that know us and that we can trust and that are loyal to us. The greatest form of loyalty is found in the relationship that Allah has with us. That we've done so much wrong, transgressed so many different sins, and we've walked over so many lines that Allah has set for us. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has still hidden our sins. If this is not loyalty, then what is loyalty? Allah has still covered us. Allah is still feeding us. Allah is still sustaining us. Allah is still providing for us. This is love. Allah loves us. One day the Prophet ﷺ was sitting on a battlefield after the battle was completed. And he saw this lady, we've mentioned, heard this story many a times, running from one side of the battle to the other side of the battlefield. And she was looking for her child, her toddler, that got lost in the chaos of the battle. As she's running back and forth, finally she finds that child of hers. And she grabs this child and فَوَضَعَتُهُ فَأَلْسَقَتُهُ فَقَبَّلَتُهُ. She grabs a child, she holds the child very close to her body, she kisses the child and she's crying out of happiness. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahabas the entire time are observing this situation take place and this entire thing unfold in front of their eyes. The Prophet looks at this and then he says to the Sahaba, أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةُ طَارِحَةٌ وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ. Do you think that this lady will ever throw this child into the fire? Can that ever happen? Like, you, this lady that loves her kid so much, would she ever throw her child into the fire? And the Sahabas replied by saying, Kalla! Ya Rasulullah, never! La is no. Kalla is never. That can never happen, Ya Rasulullah, that they will throw, this lady can throw her child into the fire. The Prophet ﷺ then responded by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, His slaves, more than this mother loves her child. Allah loves His slaves more than this mother loves her child. Do we think that Allah will throw us into the fire if we turn towards Him? وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. This is what we call love. So in order to be vulnerable and show weakness to people, we need to trust them. We don't show our weakness to people that we don't trust and are not comfortable around. If we know Allah loves us this much, it will be a disservice to show our weakness and brokenness to anyone else. Rather, our weakness and our brokenness should only be shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Ya'qub alayhi salam would say, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. That I show, Ya Allah, I complain about my difficulty to you. Complaining about Allah is a sin. Complaining about Allah is a sin. Complaining to Allah is recommended as a form of ibadah. Complaining to Allah. Ya Allah, I'm complaining to you because I know you can trust me. I can trust you. I know you'll take it in a way and you will help me from this dua. So dua is a form of showing Allah that we trust Allah and we speak to Allah. There is this concept that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah speaks about under this topic of dua, where he says that in order for a person to truly experience the ladha, the sweetness of worship, he or she must show their brokenness in front of Allah. They're broken. And he called it the term in Arabic is al-inkisar. It's called brokenness. Where we show our brokenness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn to Allah and make dua. I don't think there is a more important hadith in these last few nights than this hadith. The hadith about turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of the night, no one is watching, and just letting our heart speak rather than our tongue speaking. Our du'as are generally du'as that we're always asking Allah for something. But a du'a, the du'as of the prophets were such where they just presented themselves in front of Allah. when you read the dua of Musa alayhi salam, right, where he was all alone in the desert helping these two ladies get their water, and he sits under the shade of this tree. The dua was himself, just him presenting himself in front of Allah. Inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. This is one of my favorite du'as from the Quran. Inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Ya Allah, I am an impoverished person. I am a poor person for that which you send my way. Inni faqir. I am poor. So whatever you send my way, I will accept it. I will not complain. Like a person who is extremely hungry, you put anything in front of them, they'll eat it. And they won't complain, hopefully. He is saying, Ya Allah, I am in such a state that whatever you give me, I will accept it. I have absolutely no say in it. Just give me something good, Ya Allah. And this dua was a source of three major things coming into the life of Musa alayhi salam. You know, in this world, we want to have a family, we want to have a job, right? And we want to have a nice place to live in. We want to have shelter, we want to feel safe. This dua gave Musa alayhi salam all three of these things. All three of these things. A few moments later, the daughter came of this elderly man that some scholars say was Shu'aib alayhi salam. And number one, he was given a job. He was given a job. He has the job of working for a prophet. The second thing that happens is he gets married. He gets married to the daughter of a prophet. Subhanallah. And the third thing that happens is he has a beautiful place to live in, and he can choose whether he wants to live there for 8 years or 10 years. He was given a job, was married to a pious lady, righteous person, and he had a beautiful place to live in with beautiful company, right? I spoke about this last, you know, in our Ramadan immersion class. Now, alhamdulillah, we have that small book also where I speak about this dua, where sometimes we ask for such specific things that because we don't get them, we feel like, oh man, I didn't get what I wanted. Rather, just present ourselves in front of Allah. Confess to Allah. You know, Adam alayhi salam, when he and Hawa alayhi salam, our mother and our father, the dua is, قَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. And the entire goal of today's session is to speak about specific du'as. We're not going to have long lectures, just specific du'as. Another du'a that I wanted to share, beautiful du'a, where Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam are told to leave Jannah, or they're asked to live in this earth. And Adam alayhi salam is seeking Allah's forgiveness. Allah says, فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. That there were some words that Adam alayhi salam was connected with. تَلَقَّى. He connected with these words and he presented these words in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah accepted his forgiveness. What were the words that he said? What was the ayah that he said? What was the dua that he made? So if we understand that these prophets, right, went through the greatest difficulties, and those difficulties also passed, it's because they made dua. So now let's see what dua they made, so we can also make those same exact duas, even if we don't make it in the language of Arabic, we make it in whatever language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not confined to a language, is not confined to words, but rather Allah is such that even if we think of it, Allah can accept our dua. There was a man in the time of Musa alayhi salam, they went out in the open on the mountain, because there was a famine and a drought that had afflicted the people of Bani Israel. And when they went out to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain, with Musa alayhi salam, what we call Salatul Istisqa, the Salat of seeking rain, Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, please give us rain. Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam, Kaleemullah, and he said, I will send you rain, but inna feekum abdun asin. There is someone amongst you who is a sinner. And because of his toxic presence in this gathering, I will not send water down. He has to leave. This narration is mentioned in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. It's mentioned in many other books of history. So Musa alayhi salam turns back to his people and he says that, hey, there is someone amongst you that because of you, we can't move on. We just can't move ahead. You need to leave. And once you leave, then we will move ahead and water will be sent down. So imagine this person standing in the gathering of, some scholars say, 70,000 people. And he hears this. And he knows who he is. So the first step of making a dua is confessing ourselves and confessing about our sins in front of Allah, not in front of anyone else. It's not Christianity where we confess our sins in front of other human beings. We only confess our sins in front of Allah, because Allah will hide our sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hide our sins as long as we don't expose ourselves. If we expose ourselves and we're putting it out in the public, this is why the Prophet ﷺ would say, "Kullu ummati mu'afatun illa al-mujahir," that every single person in my ummah will be forgiven except for a person that exposes their own sins. I'll say it again. The hadith says that every single person will be forgiven except for that person who exposes their own sins. Allah will say to them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have exposed your own sins. How do you expect me to hide your sins now? You've done it yourself. Right? So if we commit a sin, keep it between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And use that sin as motivation to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nonetheless, this man is standing there and he thinks to himself. He says, Ya Allah, he speaks to Allah in his heart. He says, Ya Allah, I know the person who you're referring to, it's me, okay? And I messed up. But Ya Allah, if I walk out right now, I will be exposed in front of all of these people. And it will embarrass me and it will tarnish my respect in this gathering. So Ya Allah, I apologize. My heart is full of remorse. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says, "An-nadmu huwa tawbah." Regret in itself is a form of tawbah. He's standing there and he just starts speaking to Allah from his heart. So, Ya Allah, I won't return to those sins. Ya Allah, please forgive me. And as he's speaking to Allah in his heart, the lips did not move, but the sky rumbled with water and rain was sent down from the skies. We don't need to speak to Allah. We don't need to necessarily say words. Our heart speaks to Allah. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows what we are going through, the pain that we are living with. What we say to Allah is, of course, amplifying it. But Allah knows. That's why we're sitting down and thinking about the difficulties in our life and asking Allah for help. Allah will send down His help. Rain came down. So Musa alayhi salam was a very curious person. He turned back to Allah and said, Ya Allah, مَا خَرَجَ مِنَّا أَحَدٌ. No one left from amongst us. No one left from amongst us. Like, everyone's still here. No one left. And you sent down water and rain? What's going on? You told me that I won't send it down until this person leaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Musa, innal abd al-asi qad taba ilayya faqbaltu tawbata. That this slave of mine who was a sinner, he sought forgiveness and I forgave him. I forgave this person. So Musa alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, man huwa, who is this person? Like, I want to know who he is, that his forgiveness was such that it was accepted without him even leaving, without him even speaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa, Ya Musa, in kana akhfaytuhu qabla taba ilayya, wa ma dhannuka an akshifuhu ba'da ma taba. He says, Oh Musa, if I was hiding his sins, right? If I was hiding his sins and his identity before I forgave him, what makes you think I will expose him after I have forgiven him? This is between us and Allah. If I hid his sins and mistakes before he sought forgiveness and I accepted it, what makes you think I will expose him after I have already forgiven this person? Right? So it's just moments that we need. Right? One moment can make it for us, right? But we have to be prepared for those moments. This is why they say in sports that one moment can define a person's career. But if that person did not prepare for that moment, when that moment comes, he will not be prepared for. He won't be prepared for that moment. And he or she will fail. So we need to prepare for those moments. Nonetheless, so when Adam alayhi salam came down, someone shared the dua, he said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Right. Or in some narrations, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. Other ones say, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh Allah, I have transgressed and oppressed myself. Confession. It's a confession in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once he made this confession to Allah, Allah excused him for his mistakes. And we don't call it a sin per se, because he is a prophet and prophets do not sin. Even though sins are something of this earth, I don't want to go on a tangent. Living in the heavens, there's no such thing as a sin. So even if we consider it to be a mistake, it cannot be a sin because he was living in the heavens. Right? A sin is something that is set for this world and for human beings. For human beings, it's while we're in this world. But nonetheless, these are simple du'as that we find in the Quran, where these prophets were not necessarily asking Allah for something, but were just presenting themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were just showing Allah what was going on. Ya Allah, they said, look out. Because they worked so much for Allah that when they came in front of Allah, Allah was like, yeah, I already know how much you did, man. You don't have to ask me for much. The fact that you're presenting yourself in front of me, I know you need me, right? And these were voices that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognized. And I'll share one narration and then share one more dua, and inshallah we can call it a night. There's a narration by Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and other narrators also mentioned this narration. It's not a hadith, where Jibril alayhi salam, it's a mursal riwayah. It's a munqati riwayah. So it is a hadith, but not necessarily connected in one of the Sahih Sitta books. But it's a hadith that we can accept and take a lesson from. Where Jibril alayhi salam mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and came down to these Sahabas, that when there is a slave that speaks to Allah in times of ease, كَانَ يَدْعُ اللَّهَ فِي السَّرَّةِ, he turns to Allah at times of ease. Now, this person who turns to Allah at times of ease has gotten his voice familiar. His voice has become familiar to the inhabitants of the heavens. So his voice or her voice is a voice that people in the heavens recognize. Everyone recognizes the voice because it comes so often. It's not a new voice. You know, even with our family, when we knock on the door, they can recognize the knock. I know whose knock this is. Open the door for this person. We don't have to check who it is. But if it's the sound of the knock is different, then you want to know who it is. Similarly, when we're knocking on the doors in the gate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, the doors that are always open, that knock needs to become familiar in the heavens. That this voice needs to become familiar in the heavens. You know, when you speak to someone so much on WhatsApp or on your phone, what happens is that they come up in your, you know, most contacted contacts. They're always there. Like WhatsApp already thinks that you're going to contact this person because you contact them so much. We contact them so much that WhatsApp puts them in the front. So what we are saying, what this hadith is saying, make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a contact which is contacted very often. So we are not just speaking to Allah in times of difficulty, but rather even at times of ease. So now our voice becomes known and recognized in the heavens. This voice is recognized in the heavens. Now when this individual hits a speed bump, goes through a difficulty, when he makes a dua, the angels say, هَذَا صَوْتٌ مَعْرُوفٌ, this voice we recognize. This voice we recognize. Let's take this voice directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We recognize this voice, subhanallah. We know this person, we recognize this knock. And this dua goes directly to Allah and it is accepted. This is why when Yunus alayhi salam was in three darknesses, the darkness of the night, the darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the whale, and he made the dua, famous dua of Ayat al-Kareema, of La ilaha illa anta subhanaka, inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. The angel said to Allah, هَذَا صَوْتٌ مَعْرُوفٌ. Even though this person is in such a darkness, in such a low point in his life, that voice is recognized. SubhanAllah. How's it going?
Assalamualaikum.
Took a moment.
Muhammad, man, I'm sorry. Are you almost done?
You're 5 minutes, man.
Are you almost done?
We can go longer, inshallah. I mean, we can go longer, inshallah, as long as the crowd allows us.
What were you speaking about?
So we just finished. Our hadith today is Afdalu Ibadati Ad-Du'a, right? So we cover different best of. So I was just referring to the du'a of Ayat al-Kareema, La ilaha illa anta subhanak. Mufti Abdurrahman actually has a video, an entire lecture on our YouTube page, which is called The Light at the End of the Tunnel, right, Bajan?
That is a horrible video.
I know, but I know it's a horrible video.
Don't watch it. Guys, don't watch it.
No, but he speaks about this dua in detail.
Pandemic, and this dude comes to our house, and I had no Wi-Fi. It was supposed to be live.
And he had a very interesting tablecloth.
It was just, don't watch it. I'm telling you, don't watch it. If you watch it, may Allah forgive you.
You'll definitely still benefit. I know Sa'd Ubaidullah Evans in his Ramadan immersion class, The Prophetic Pleas, also covers some of these du'as. And you can always just, you know, buy the book. You can read more about the du'a online.
You're learning from Bajan.
Yeah, something like that. But you see that this person was in such darknesses, but his voice had been recognized by the angels, right? They say that if you want to get to someone very great, make sure the people around them know you. Because if the people around them know you, then they'll get you through. You don't necessarily have to have direct contact with the person who you want to meet. It's about who you know. So if the angels recognize our voices, they'll take us straight up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it'll be accepted. So there's no point in our life that regardless of how difficult of a speed bump or hurdle we have hit, if this voice is recognized from before, it'll still be recognized, right? And now du'as will become easier. But Jen, I've spoken enough. I spoke for 30 minutes straight. For the first 10 minutes, I just asked them questions. MashaAllah, these people listen very attentively. All these brothers and sisters from wherever they're watching, from Allah reward them. Even at late night, they're listening attentively. So I was trying to test them. You know, they got everything right. So inshallah, you know, we can just continue from there. Bajan, maybe you can share. All I was doing was sharing my favorite du'as, right? So if it's a favorite du'a you have,
I'm going to call you because I'm so used to calling the other guy on the screen Bajan. So I gotta make sure that I don't act funny because Bajan's gonna watch it after. No.
Let me do that. Let me try that, Bajan. Let me try that part.
And another thing I can't do is try to sing an English nasheed right now because that's gonna be a real problem. I'm actually really thinking about coming on tomorrow when Zain Bika comes.
And no, you can come on definitely. Just don't sing with him.
Just so that he can give me his true assessment because Bajan's reaction to my English nasheed is still giving me nightmares. It's haunting me. I'm sure people remember.
It was a live reaction. It wasn't a pre, you know, a planned reaction.
Yeah, he's real. He just whatever he wants to say, you know, he just says it. So I don't mind all of you watching that. If you want to laugh a bit, that's a really really good video to laugh at. I don't know which day or which moment that was, but
it was in your guys' the series, the Quran series that we started after Ramadan.
No, before that.
No, it was in the Quran series. You guys were covering Iqra, you know, where the Prophet was going up and down. You know that? And he came down from Hira.
Hey, don't put me up right now. I'm going to start.
Do it, just do it. Allah, they'll enjoy it.
See with you. So I have, honestly, when
hey, wait, keep looking. Someone there? Someone's watching with you?
Of course, because I'm in the masjid and people are like, there's live people walking in and out, so forgive me. We just got done with Taraweeh, so I mean, there's a lot of people here right now. And forgive me for the background noise. I have just one, of course, you know, I speak through, I learn things through analogies. You know, that's why I have some weird basketball analogies and all that, right? Mufti Buhab, my take on dua is this, that at the core of the human being, we are all dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are literally faqir, we have nothing. So we have to understand how a dependent being interacts and gets what they need. Mm. So just take a look at an independent, completely dependent being. So then we see, like, if you want to see in our own life, we see a baby who's 1 years old or 8 months old, baby, a child, that does not know any language, no Arabic, English, Urdu, Farsi, nothing. Doesn't, you know, no grammar. But still this child who is completely dependent on guardians, parents, uncles, aunts, completely dependent. You can't leave the child alone for more than a few minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to guard the child, guard the stairs, guard the crib. Everything has to be well guarded as the child is getting older because the child is dependent on the guardians for food, for everything. When this child needs something, you know, this, your dua book is amazing, but the essence of the dua is this, like, you don't really need to know any words because the child doesn't know any words, but the child is born with one thing. Allah blessed this child the moment this child is born with the ability to cry. Allah said, all you need from me as you come to this world is the ability to cry. And if you can cry right when you come out, not only is it a healthy sign that doctors say, yeah, this child is a healthy child, but it's also a healthy sign if you can continue that throughout your life. So the child cries and everybody starts attending to the child. The mother can decipher between the child of the cry of the child? Is this the cry of a child who's sick? Is this the cry of a child who's tired? Is this the cry of a child who needs his diaper change? Is this the cry of a child who needs food? I mean, the mother, because she loves, not the father, I mean, I can't, but the mother definitely can decipher between, distinguish between the different cries. And so I say to all of us, first of all, you know how we love to have people who can keep us, you know, people that can have a good time with us. Like, we all like to tune in because Sheikh Abdullah, Muftul Wahab, they know how to make us enjoy. You know, we have a good time. Like, we all, everyone likes a person who is, you know, you can say like the, I'm not gonna say the life of the room, you know, makes people enjoy, laugh. It's important at the same time to always have someone in your company that can make you cry. Seriously. Always, it's really important to find that person who you can sit next to, and that person knows how to make you cry, not in a bad way, but in a good way. Sahaba would do that with each other, and they would talk about things, and they would make each other cry. Someone would raise their hands, like Mu'adh Aziz, mashallah, his Khatm al-Quran dua, makes everyone cry. We had these last few nights in Itikaf. There's some people with soft hearts. They're naturally very soft-hearted people. As soon as they speak, as soon as they start making dua, they cry. And, you know, there's many narrations about how one person in the room, one, Wahab, it just takes, Mufti Wahab, one person, أَنَّ عَبْدًا بَكَى فِي مَلَئٍ مِّنَ النَّاسِ لَرُحِمُوا بِبُكَائِهِ. If even one person cries in a group of people, every single person gets blessed with the mercy from that person's tears. SubhanAllah, another place, you know, Hassan Basri rahmatullahi said, وَلَوْ كَانُوا 20 أَلْفًا. By one person crying, Allah has mercy on everyone around that person, even if that crowd goes up to 20,000 people. He says, أَنَّ الْأَعْمَالِ كُلَّهَا تُوزَن. All deeds will be weighed and scaled, إِلَّا الدَّمْعَ, except for a tear. تَخْرُجُ مِنْ عَيْنِ الْعَبْدِ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. The tear that comes out of the eyes, out of the fear of Allah. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهَا وَزْنٌ وَلَا قَدْرٌ. That tear will not have any, there's no scale that can weigh the amount of deeds and rewards that will, that tear will give you. Allah. And there's no measuring stick that can measure how much reward you'll get for that tear. وَإِنَّهُ لَيُطْفَأُ بِالدَّمْعَةِ الْبُحُورُ مِنَ النَّارِ. This is Hassan Basri's statement. And one tear can be a source of extinguishing, you know, fires, of oceans of fire. So, you know, I think that idea of, you know, developing that as we are making dua. You can't cry, try to imitate the act of crying. Find someone in your gathering. Look for those people who have soft hearts. You know, if there's a speaker that makes your heart softer, maybe just, you know, pay more attention. Start watching that person even more. If there's people in your community, spend time with them, because really it's through suhbah your heart becomes soft and you start to cry. There's no better treasure than the ability to literally bawl out in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and smile in front of people. I mean, that's the, if someone can do that, like just bawl out in front of Allah and then just smile all day in front of people. I honestly, there's one, I'm gonna say this because this is one of my favorite Urdu poems. Like, I have favorite ones, right? This is one of my favorite ones. And it's Hakim Akhtar Sahab's, right? And he talks about this this idea of like just...
Are you gonna read it or are you gonna say it?
I'll just read it.
You're gonna sing it, just sing it.
I don't know the tone of it anymore, honestly.
You, of course you do. I know which poem you're referring to. You can sing it.
You know what poem I like.
I mean, you don't want me to sing it, do you?
Please don't.
Okay, khalas, just then sing it then. Because I'm ready.
I'll just try, okay. He says, أَبْعِشْقْ مِئُنْكِ خَاتِرْ هَمْ آنکھوں سے لہو برسائیں گے اب عشق میں ان کی خاطر ہم. You gotta put yourself on mute as when I'm reciting because it echoes. اب عشق میں ان کی خاطر ہم آنکھوں سے لہو برسائیں گے جب دل سے انہیں ہم چاہیں گے وہ خود ہی کرم فرمائیں گے آتا ہے مجھے نالوں میں مزا اے زاہد نادا طنز نہ کر جب عشق ہے ان کا دل میں میرے پھر کیوں نہ ہمیں کر پائیں گے جائے گی کبھی آہ دل کی بالائے فلک تا عرش بری یہ درد و محبت کے نالے یہ درد و محبت کے نالے کچھ رنگ تو اپنا لائیں گے سو بیوٹیفل مین
سبحان اللہ تکبیر ہیز آن لائن
یہ
ہاں تکبیر واو سبحان اللہ فرسٹ یو کیم اینڈ ڈراپ سم deep wise thoughts and then he's saying mashallah a very beautiful poem. You want to talk about what that poem refers to so people can inshallah understand it a little bit?
Basically it says like ab ishq mein unki khatir I'm out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I'm gonna you know voluntarily it's not a sign of weakness voluntarily I'm going to cry to show Allah how much I love him. And then he says a person who really yearns for Allah from the depth of his heart or heart then Allah himself will be generous and benevolent with us and he's going to love us as well because he already loves us he just wants to see a little bit of our effort so khalas right when you do that boom he's just going to be all around you take care of you be the eyes from what you see the whole idea right then he says I enjoy as these streams of tears flow down my eyes so oh ignorant person don't you know criticize me and don't think negatively of this that I'm weak or something or this guy you know be stronger no don't do that he says when you have the depth of the love ishq in your heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then why would that not be a source of you just crying out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's what it does the effect as it goes in over here then the tears come out from your eyes as it goes in it penetrates in your bones in your body it comes out then he says you know maybe you know it's been years been months since we've been crying about our brother but jayegi kabhi aahein dil ki he says I'm confident one day the sounds of my cry will reach up to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one day these streams of love and affection for Allah will bring about some color and change in my life ye dard o mohabbat ke nale kuch rang to apna layenge you know if people can have so much reliance on their degree and their effort then guess what I'm banking on my tears I'm sure it's going to come and help me and rescue me at a point in my life maybe not now but it's definitely going to happen so isn't that so powerful like
yeah, so powerful Mijan. So powerful I mean just the idea that you brought in just learning how to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and using whatever motivation there could be to cry. I mean, I remember our father telling us after our brother, rahimahullah, when obviously we were extremely emotional, he said at this moment, one of the first pieces of advice that he gave us actually was where he said, at this moment, use these tears to make dua for the entire ummah. And don't be selfish because right now, a broken heart is a perfect recipe of an accepted dua. So if you have a broken heart, make dua for everyone and don't just make dua for yourself. And the more people we include in our dua, the more hope we have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it. So I mean, there's a narration by Hudhayfa ibn Yaman where he says that time will come that لا يقبل دعاء مؤمن a person's dua will not be accepted إلا من دعاء كدعاء الغريق except for that person who makes dua like a person who is drowning. Like, you know, like we have to really turn and ask Allah, knowing and understanding that there's nowhere else that we can go to ask. This is the only place that we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mijan, I think you shared so much already about dua. Is there a favorite dua you have? Or does it change over time?
There's no favorite. Right now, I would say, Allahumma naqini min al-dhunubi wal-khataya kama yunaqqa al-thawb al-abyad min al-danas. Allahumma ghsil khataya kama bima'i al-thalji wal-barad. Oh Allah, cleanse my sins with the rain water, with snow water, and with hail water. I mean, that's so descriptive, man. The Prophet never saw snow in his life. I don't think so. And how he used the word snow water, snow, hail, and water, because the sins, they have this heat. And if you're standing in a masjid and the AC is off, you're very uncomfortable. So a believer should feel very uncomfortable from the sins. So you're asking Allah, just cool me down a bit, you know, get the heat of the away from me. And
there's a harara of sins. There's this heat of sins, right? That pushes people towards sinning even more. But you're talking about the tears thing. You know, there's an interesting point that Imam Ghazali made. He said, the word al-ayn, and those that speak Arabic, they'll know this, that the word al-ayn has multiple meanings. Two of the meanings one meaning of it is streams. A stream is called al-ayn. And the other meaning of this word ayn is actually our eyes. And he says they both have some similarities. Amongst them is a similarity that a stream is only called a stream because it flows with water.
SubhanAllah, man.
And if it doesn't flow with water, it is not called an ayn anymore. Similarly, he says that the eye is called al ayn because it actually lets water flow down and lets tears stroll down their cheeks. And if it doesn't have tears strolling down their cheeks, that means it's not really an eye anymore for us. So hopefully we can, in these last few nights, figure out how to cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and use those tears.
Make dua. I've been making this dua a lot. That you become a source of joy for people, and you are also so soft that you become a source of tears for people. You know what I'm saying? The Prophet was like that. Source of happiness for people, but at the same time, he was such a person that it doesn't matter how hard your heart was, you would just melt when you saw him. So I think we have that response. If you brothers and sisters need anything to soften your heart, just read about my brother, read about our family. Listen, if this helps, please make dua for my brother. You know, every time I need to get to in that zone, I just think about my brother. I think about our last interactions. You know, I think about lowering him in the grave. You know, and these things, you know, it stays with me forever. I mean, I can't see any pictures or videos about that. I just, that is enough, you know, for me to, you know, to get into the, you know, and to get into it before I even start making dua. And of course, think about people who are suffering all over the world. That should bring, if you're a human being, it's in our instincts that we would soften up and we start thinking about them. It'll make us cry. And of course, once you get that, like once you reach that level that you can actually cry, while you're crying, make dua, oh Allah, never snatch this from me. Like literally end your dua with that. Please, please, God, please. I love this so much. Don't ever take this from me. Doesn't matter how many sins I do, please let me at least come back to this. Because, you know, that is a treasure, man. And if you finally got it, just beg Allah as your dua is concluding, please, Ya Allah, please don't take it from me. Please, please.
There's a quote in Imam Hassan al-Basri where he says that if the people that enjoy and laugh in gatherings of sin knew the pleasure and the sweetness that we get in crying in front of Allah, they would leave all their sins and they would cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I mean, you know, Muhammad Aziz said it once, you know, he said, may these wounds heal but never seal. And I feel like hopefully we can you know, exemplify that and live that in our life, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair for joining. I know you had your tafsir as well. And hopefully, you know, someone else was able to hold it down. You know, and if someone really wants to watch something, there's, you know, a beautiful nasheed that one of our students recited in Urdu about our brother, rahimahullah. And there's also a nasheed that someone recited in Arabic. They're both on our channel. We actually made a playlist that is titled Sheikh Abdul Rahim, rahimahullah. Especially in these last few nights of the month of Ramadan, you know, hopefully we can, you know, remember all the loved ones that have passed away and also make dua for others. There's a quote that I was reading earlier that Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, said that in order to get your dua accepted, make dua for people who are suffering. So I think, you know, we should be making dua for the people of India. They are suffering with this COVID situation. Even now, the other countries like Pakistan, Bangladesh, and all across the world, but specifically in India, we've seen their videos, we've seen their, you know, different articles and so on. And it's, you know, just looking at it is difficult. But it doesn't mean that we stop looking at it. It should mean that we look at it more and make more dua for them, hopefully. So inshallah, if we can do that, if all of us choose to make those du'as, hopefully Allah will bring some. There's a beautiful hadith that I was just reading earlier before the session, that the Prophet said, "Inna rabbakum hayyun kareemun, yastahi an yarfa'al abdu yadayhi wa yarudduhuma sifra." The Prophet said to the Sahaba that your Lord is very, very kind and gentle. He feels, he becomes shy that his slave raises his hands and he returns his hands empty. Allah doesn't like that. So if we raise our hands, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring, give something to us right away and benefit those that we ask for. Zakhlam Mustafa for joining. May Allah bless all of you that joined. Tomorrow we have Zain Bika and Sheikh Abdullah Misra. Inshallah, Sheikh Abdullah, you know, Sheikh Abdullah, the one and only. Tomorrow night, we'll be starting at 12:30.
I'm going to make a guest appearance and I'm going to make him be my judge. I'm coming on tomorrow.
He's too kind of a person, man. May Allah bless him too. May Allah reward you, Bijan. Inshallah, tomorrow night, we'll see you all at 12:30. Inshallah. JazakAllah khair.